Hebrews chapter 2. I'll start reading at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it becometh him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now skip down to verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for this place. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your presence. Lord, I ask you now to eclipse your preacher in the power of the Holy Ghost and the shadow of the cross. Lord, allow me to only say things you'd have me to say. Lord, we love you and we honor you. And God, we're so glad for what you've already done. And we're going to go ahead and thank you on credit for what you're about to do. Lord, the greatest thing that's happened here this week was that young man Thomas coming last night and having sins forgiven, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I pray tonight you'd touch the hearts of your children. Lord, I pray if they be here that don't know you, that you'd just help them, God, that you'd just visit their hearts. I know you'll save them. That's not the question. But will they come and allow you to do that? We'll give you praise, glory, and honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I travel all over the eastern United States and minister in many different denominations. And in many places I'm asked the question, and I hear the question arising, why did God choose to send His Son for us? Why did God choose death as a payment for sin? And then this question, what makes Jesus' death different than any others? Well, there was a lot of people crucified, but I only know one by name. And His name is Jesus. And we're entering in, we're in that week that we will celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. You ask a Muslim talking to a Christian, he'll say, I can go and show you the tomb where Muhammad's bones are. All you've got to go is go to a tomb and there's nothing there. I say, bless God, I'm glad of that. Why? Because there, God, why would you want to serve a God that's dead? Why would you want to serve a God that has ears and cannot hear, eyes but cannot see, hands and cannot hold, feet but cannot move? I'm glad I'm serving a God. Yes, He may have died, but He didn't stay dead. And He come alive. So I want to preach tonight just for a few minutes, and I won't be long. One friend of mine said, bless God, if you'd long for a message, the message wouldn't be so long. Amen. I want to preach on this simple subject, the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus. Now, God in His infinite wisdom, He could have done anything He wanted to do to bring salvation to us. He could have chose anyway, but He chose death because God is so just and God is so holy, He demanded death for the price of sin. And the law and the fact that it was instituted by God, it never was there to save anyone. It only showed us that we were sinners. And it only showed us how bad off we really are. Because you see, if you was guilty of one, you was guilty of the whole. And the priests would go in. The high priest would offer the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. And he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And the Shekinah glory of God would come. And it would cry, sacrifice, sacrifice. But it never ever get away with one sin. It only pushed them forward for the span of a year. But before the foundation of the world, before time, and God stood on the back porch of nowhere, He knew that His Son would come to this earth to die for us. So I want to share with you the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Bible said that the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And I've already read, nothing that was made without Him, for He made all things. And get this, He called all things good. And through the Old Testament, whether you want to argue or not, I'm not going to argue with you. You've got a right to be wrong. I believe you see the pre-incarnate of Christ in different occasions. But I'm telling you, the time came when the fullness of time had come. It pleased God to send His Son in the likeness of flesh, born of a virgin. Yes, you heard what I said, a virgin. And yet, but without sin, He was incarnate to come to us. This same Jesus, will you agree with me? He coexisted with God in heaven. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the ending. He'll be there forever. But you see, the reason for the incarnation was this. When He coexisted with God in heaven, He could not die. No way. But if He comes in the form of a man, not only can He die, but He will die and taste death for you and I. Because you see, the fact of this, God's justice demanded death for our sins. And therefore Jesus comes. I've quoted it here before. It's one of my favorite passages. Revelation chapter 5. And John said, I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on a throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals thereof. He heard the angel proclaiming, who is able to open the book and loose the seals thereon? Nobody in heaven, nobody in earth, no one beneath the earth. But He said, as I sat weeping, an elder cried unto me and said, weep not, John. Well, behold, the Lion and the tribe of Judah, out of the root of David, one hath prevailed, who's able to open the book and loose the seals and look thereon. Bless God, I'm telling you, He left the glory house of heaven, came to this sin-cursed earth, died on a cross, and bless His name, took place of my sins, and done what nobody else could do. It's as simple as this. It's as simple as this. He was manifested in the flesh. Roger preached it last night. Nobody can do it any better. When he gets on that, he might have been a man. I love it. I preach with him many times throughout the year. I can tell his stories just as nearly as good as he can. But bless God, I know him. But he can tell them over and over. And Bron, when he starts, I just go ahead and start crying. Because it's not the story. It's the humbleness of the man that's sharing with that. That's been through it. Went down the road. Done what it took. And made it a lot easier for us young preachers. Say amen. Right there to come to a place like, what do you say? He was a man. But yet He was God. 200% person. 100% man. 100% God. But you know, He came to this earth. And I love the miracles, don't you? I mean, I really do. Now my favorite one probably is this. When He's been preaching and there's 5,000 men gathered there, not counting the women and the children. And it's getting evening. And I guess the disciples said, Lord, you need to send them to the town that they can get something to eat. He said, why don't send them away? They said, well, Lord, if we took all the money we've got and bought a little bread, they wouldn't be enough for everybody just to get a bite. He said, but what do you have?
And I believe it was Andrew or Philip one said, well, there's a little boy over here got a lunch with him. Be careful. And they bring it to Jesus. Now, I'm just to be honest with you. You give that 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes to me or Ricky Jacobs or Calvin Ray or even Roger, that don't even make a good lunch. But if you put it in the hands of Jesus, bless God, He can bless it and He can break it and He can give it to His disciples and they can feed until they're all filled. I'll go on record as saying He still holds the world record for the greatest fish fry. Amen. But I read after a fellow here a couple of years ago, maybe now, and he got my wheels to turning about some things. When you read the Bible, these are people just like we are people. And if you don't look at it a little bit on the humanistic side, you might miss some things. And I listen to a lot of preaching and I take a lot of preacher's stuff. You guys do too. There ain't nothing new under the sun. I love Get Rogers preaching. Yes, sir, I've got a whole catalog of it. He says the only bad thing of it is I take it and preach it better than he does, but I don't believe that. But I preach with him. And I was listening, and I got to thinking about that riding down the road, and I said, did you ever wonder what they done with those 12 baskets left over? The Bible said, Jesus said, pick up the fragments that they be none left over. Now, Cal Ray preaches a great sermon on that. And you see, I believe there's different angles you can look at the Scriptures. And this is out of the book of Mike, if you're wondering. This is just what I think. You say, well, you can't prove that by the Bible. I got more proof it happened than you said it didn't. I believe they gathered up 12 baskets. And I believe they took them down there and put them on that boy's porch. Why would you say that? Because I just got to thinking about this. You ain't never going to give God anything that He don't give you back more and more and more than you ever gave Him. Bless God, I tell it like this. When God's blessings show up, there seems like to be a breeze blows through. And I believe his mama was in the house, cleaning the house, and she went like that and she said, bless God, I smell hush puppies. Amen. I smell fish. And I think she stopped in the kitchen on the way through, stirred up a bowl of coleslaw. You said, now why would you say that? Every time I order fish and hush puppies, they bring me coleslaw. And I don't even have to start somewhere. But I know this. I believe she walked out on that porch. There set 12 baskets of food. And I'd say she looked at that little boy and said, son, where in the world have you been? You've got some explaining to do. I'd say he looked up and said, mama, you see that fella up there on the hill? They call his name Jesus. Said he wanted my lunch and said I took it to him and here's what I got left over. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm here to tell you, bless his name, if you'll just go and give something to God, you're going to get more back than you ever thought you could have. Don't give it for that reason, but just give it because you love him. Loving Him. And by the way, let me say this. Don't let the devil tell you you ain't nobody or nothing. If I read my Bible correct, that little boy wasn't even counted. Hello? He wasn't even in the count, but he had what Jesus needed. You may not think you count, but bless God. I was talking to a brother. He said he pastored small churches. Somebody's got to pastor them. Every church ain't going to be big. I'm going to be honest with you. There ain't but one church anyhow. We're just one here and a little there. And Christ came and He came flesh and He took upon Himself our sins and nailed them to the cross. But the miracles was not why He come. He come to die for our sins. So not only in the death of Christ do we see the purpose of the incarnation, but we see the provision of Calvary. The provision of Calvary. I don't understand why God did what He did, but I'm glad He did.
And every time I read it, and especially in this time of the year, it seems to be more real in the sense of Easter. We're thinking about it. I hate that he had to suffer like he did, but can I get a witness? Aren't you glad that he didn't call the angels? Aren't you glad he went ahead and tasted death and died for you and me? The provision of Calvary was this. There had to be a Calvary. And Calvary satisfied God's justice. It satisfied His justice in the fact of this. We were under the condemnation of the law, but it removed the barrier between us and God. Brother Roger mentioned it last night. He reached up and took God with one hand and took the sinner and brought us together and made us an heir. I'm going to tell you something, folk. It don't get no better than that. But not only that, here's what the Bible says. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Now let me just put you that in hillbilly terms. He become what I was, so I can become who He is. Oh, hallelujah to God. That ought to make somebody grunt. Amen. He took my sin. The just died for the unjust. He took my place, and therefore I get to live forever because of Calvary. He broke down that middle wall of partition, and now I can go directly to the throne room of God. The provision. Not only did it satisfy God's justice, but it demonstrates God's love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Bless God, I'm glad the Lord knoweth the path in which I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. For I know who my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. And though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." John said, "I saw a number, and no man could number them." And an elder said, "John, who are these?" He said, "Surely thou knowest. These are they who come up through great tribulation, having washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." And they were singing a new song: "I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, for there is hope of the tree. If it be cut down, the tender branches thereof will not cease. Though the root wax old and the stump thereof dieth in the earth, when the Spirit speaks, we shall come forth, and we shall burn again, and we shall live again, because He is the Son of God." Woo! Hallelujah. I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall be caught up, changed in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with Him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm glad for the provision of Calvary, that when He lied on that tree, bless God, and He cried, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." And on the third day, He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and said, "Behold, I'm He who is alive and dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys of hell and of death, and as I live, ye shall live also. For what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, even also them who are asleep in Christ will God bring with Him. Oh, we shall not hinder them, but bless God, they're going to get up
up. We're going to lift off. And we're out of this place. I wish somebody help me preach this right here. I'm here to tell you, thank God for the provision of Calvary, that He did away with the barrier between me and Him. And I can talk with Him. Take the cross out of it if you want to. I'll gladly bear my cross. But one day I'll lay her down and I'll get a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I promised myself I wasn't going to act like this tonight. It just gets so big I can't help it. Woo, hallelujah. We ain't home yet, by the way. There you go. See, too many of you are watching me instead of listening to Him. If you listen to Him instead of watching me and listen to what He's saying, I believe somebody else could get up and say, yippee, hallelujah, I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. Somebody say, I don't like that shouting. How are you even going to know when the Lord comes back? I'm doing the best I can. Help me shake it. Thank God. The provision of Calvary. No way you or I could enter in to that place. But Jesus died. And He got up. And somewhere between when He talked to Mary and He met with those fellas on the road to Emmaus, I believe He ascended into the heavenly. I believe when He stepped on the golden street, angels bowed their heads and folded their wings and they whispered, that's Him. And He walked through the courtyards of heaven. For see, all things must be cleansed by the blood. Sin had been in heaven and it had to be cleansed by the blood. And Jesus walks right through into the Holy of Holies, reaches over yonder and picks up the hyssop, dips it in His own blood. And He looks at that mercy seat where the cherubims are there. And He sprinkles it on His blood of His own Son. And the sacrifice of the mercy seat. Don't say sacrifice. But for the first time, once and forever, it cries, satisfied, satisfied. Oh! How do you know that, preacher? For He hath not entered into the holy place made by hands with all the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear before God for us. Yes, that He once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it's once appointed unto man to die, after this the judgment, but unto them that look for Him, a second time shall He appear without sin unto salvation. How's that going to happen, preacher? It's because of Calvary. It's because of what He done. And when He done it, He done it right. You don't have to fix it. Best thing to do, just get in with it. The purpose of the incarnation. The provision of Calvary. But then we see the power of the cross. The power of the cross. You see, Satan had authority over death
upon humans. It was because of God's justice. You remember, God demanded death for sins. From the beginning of time when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, the innocent died in place of the guilty. And I got to thinking about it. They put them coats on them. And I believe everywhere they went, His eye was watching them. And down through time, many lost their lives, lambs slain for the people. But thank God, can I tell you tonight, He's not a lamb, but He's the Lamb of God. John said, "Whoo, that taketh away the sins of the world." The power of the cross is this. You and I were under the curse of the law. Death for the lawbreakers. But the Bible said, Jesus swallowed up death in victory. In other words, prophecy that God said had been fulfilled. You shall bruise His heel, but He shall bruise thy head. And can I tell you this? Now get ready to shout. He got up. The power of the cross took away the curse of the law. Now we are free to live in Him. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created unto a good works. I'm here to tell you tonight, you know what that means? Get this. That means we, God's children, we're only going to live as long as God does. Oh, amen. And bless God, He ain't going to die, so therefore we ain't either. We may leave this world, but we ain't going to die. I can't see it, but it'll make some of y'all feel better if I look at it. I'm done. It behooveth Him to become like us in all things. Do you know what that means? There's not a pain. There's not a place. There's not a position that you'll ever be in that the Son of God doesn't become acquainted with what you're going through. And therefore He knows. And ain't it good? I mean, listen now. I love it when folks pray for us. And that's a lot of how we do what we do. When folk get sick, ain't it good that you've got that core of people that don't forget? And they just seem, and ain't it something seemingly just when you need it, God touches that person and knows when to send it. That ain't no coincidence. That's just God. And I like what He told Peter. He said, "Peter, I got some good news and I got some bad news for you." Peter said, "Lord, what's the bad news?" He said, "The devil desires to sift you like wheat." He said, "Dear Lord, what's the good news?" He said, "But I have prayed for thee." Woo, hallelujah. I have prayed for thee. Now, I love y'all. I know you love me, most of you anyway. I told one the other day, I said, a lot of people, if they don't like to hear me, they like to watch me. Amen? Whatever. And I'd just about soon have Jesus praying for me as anybody I know. The death of Jesus had to be to take our place. Now let me say this. I quit 3 times and I think this is the 3rd one. Come on, Ron. Calvin Ray's going to preach in a minute. I like what happens when someone comes to Jesus. You see, if you commit certain crimes in this nation, in a state or a county or whatever, and you're convicted by your peers of that crime. You may be sentenced to a certain amount of time or whatever, but and you may serve your time. And they may let you go. But you can still go back to that courthouse and look in the records, and it'll still be there what happened. But if you can get in contact with a higher authority, such as a governor or the president, he can give you what's called a pardon. And what that does, Brother Roger said, wipes the slate clean. I ain't just been forgiven. I've been pardoned. And when the devil wants to bring it up in the courtroom of heaven, I don't even have to show up. My attorney just goes for me. And when the judge comes in and sits down, and my attorney stands up, he says, "Good morning, Dad." And when Satan would want to indict me of all the wrongs that I've done, the Savior says, "What's he talking about? Because you see, my sins are gone.